From the Roundabout Studios in the Motor City, I'm Eric Tritko.
And I'm Craig Cole.
From Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
And from Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm Zach Bowman.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, episode number 11, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like brave Puritans fleeing religious oppression, we sail across the Atlantic in search of freedom and a cohesive Zen-like theme. Upon arrival, we find all kinds of different topics and news bites to steal from the natives, however wrong it may be. And whatever's left over, well, we give thanks for it anyway, because it's ours now, and we feel guilty about taking it. So here we are, episode 11, another edition of Roundabout. Thank you guys for joining me here. I've got Eric Tritko off to my right side, Mr. Rumblestrip. How have you been?
I've been.
That's terrific. And of course, joining us via Skype right now is Jeff Ross down in Jacksonville. Jacksonville.
How you doing, Craig, and everybody else?
I'm terrific. And of course, we can't forget about Zach Bowman.
Can't forget about me.
No, not with your stories.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, did you have a safe trip back?
Oh, what a headache.
did you get stuck in that whole traffic, that whole air traffic control nightmare?
Luckily I missed that, but they rushed me out of the Ford Fiesta event at like 2 o'clock when my flight wasn't leaving Detroit till 5.
And the event was in Dearborn. And it's not like you have to go 3 hours to the airport, you know?
Yeah. So I'm sitting at the airport at, 2:30, and 5 o'clock comes around. There's still no airplane at the gate. Turns out it seems like someone forgot to tell an airplane that it needed to show up. I ended up not leaving Detroit till 8 o'clock.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Nothing is worse than hanging around an airport.
Were you flying Northwest/Delta?
Of course.
Yeah. So did you go over to like the oxygen bar or something?
I just took a nap.
That's the right thing to do.
The best part was listening to an old man, had to be like a World War II vet, and a younger black woman discussing Hispanic speaking people from Florida.
Oh yeah.
And it all got really great when the subject turned to slavery.
Oh my God!
The lady went straight from talking about Hispanic people in Miami to slavery. So I never understood the correlation, but it definitely made for an interesting listen.
Wow, that's not something you hear every day.
No.
Did you pipe up in Spanish?
Okay.
Why are you speaking about my people?
So, yeah, in case you're wondering, Ford did a backgrounder press event earlier in the week about the Fiesta. It's embargoed, so, we can't tell you about it. But Eric made the trip from Dearborn all the way down to Dearborn to be there. And, of course, Jeff came up from Jacksonville, so that's why he was in the Motor City. And, I'm thankful, Jeff, even though you were late, I'm thankful you made it back safely to Florida. Which is convenient. It ties in nicely with this week's theme, which is things we're thankful for. Yes. A turkey gobbling. Thank you, Ben. I shake my head. So we've got a list of stories here or topics, a variety of different things that we are thankful for, with Thanksgiving coming up next week. And thank God, I'm thankful that I get a few days off of work. I don't have to make the 100-mile round-trip drive every day next week. So I'm happy. I'm elated about that. But back on topic, the first thing we've got on the list for tonight is something that Eric is thankful for. So why don't you pick this up, Eric?
I took this a little more seriously than our usual fare.
Okay.
And decided that what I'm really thankful for is Jeremy Clarkson. And for those who don't know, Jeremy Clarkson is a British moto journalist, well known for the show Top Gear. He writes a regular column in the Times Online in the UK, and I think The Sun as well. And he also has a number of other DVDs that he's put out, big very, very much one of the leading influencers mm-hmm. for opinion in cars. And it's funny because, especially for some of his reviews, I'd say probably two-thirds of his reviews, the first three-quarters of the review have absolutely nothing to do with the car. But they're humorous and they're enjoyable to read. And mm-hmm. Top
some
Gear,
random
some
background or something.
Yeah, yeah, and sometimes Top Gear, like, you wish they'd be a little more, they'd geek out a little more when they're doing the car reviews. But at the end of the day, it's they're some of the best produced video done today.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just the amount of time and effort they put into shooting stuff is incredible.
I think this is a couple years old, but the average show a couple years ago, I know they've had some budget cutbacks, was mm-hmm. £500,000 per show.
Pounds sterling?
Pounds sterling.
Wow. That's like how many real dollars? A lot.
Yeah, about 900,000.
That's expensive. Yikes. Yeah. So, Jeff, you happen to be a Clarkson fan as well, right?
I happen to be one of the only people I know in the automotive journalism world that is anti-Top Gear. I don't know
how
if it's...
How can you be anti-Top Gear? It's so entertaining. It's so well-produced.
Aside from the anti-Americanism they always spew out, I think it might be the fact that it's always, you know, you got to watch it. It's the best ever. And then it's not really the best ever. Mm-hmm. I don't understand British comedy that much. So mm-hmm. that might be my thing, too.
The anti-American stuff is very much playing to a crowd because he bashes on the French and the Poles and everybody else, too.
Oh, so. That reminds me. Apparently, now I don't get whatever BBC station this comes in on. But we did a story for Autoline Daily a while back about apparently they produced fake commercials for products.
Last year.
Yeah. And the product that Clarkson chose was the new Golf.
Yeah, everyone had to do one for the Scirocco.
Okay, is that what it was?
Yeah, it was for the Scirocco.
So he did this commercial, and it's very dark. All these people are running and fleeing, and then at the end, it kind of looks like some sort of pre-apocalypse type panic going on, and then as it ends, it shows a profile shot, a still of the Gulf, and it says Berlin to Warsaw in one tank, of course referring to Germany's invasion.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
So
That actually was a really good episode.
Was it?
Yeah. If you really want to see what Top Gear can do with as far as visual, the last segment of the last show of last season's stuff, which was like 6 months ago, mm-hmm. they did a review of the V12 Vantage, Aston Martin V12 Vantage, mm-hmm. and it was very little about the car, but it just visually, mm-hmm. you're just like your jaw's on the floor. So and that's what they do. It's some of the things they can do when they try.
Okay, so we've got Eric here that loves the man. Jeff, not so much. Zach, where do you fall?
You know, I have to say I'm a little bit on the middle ground. Okay. You know, I tend to enjoy Top Gear. It's a lot of fun. They do a lot of stuff that, you know, any car person would kill to do. But last week I saw a clip that kind of started to change my opinion. It wasn't an actual Top Gear clip, but it had Clarkson and the Stig in it anyway. And they were supposed to do, I guess they were trying to do a drift challenge.
Yeah, that's from his new DVD.
Okay. Yeah. So they're trying to clip the apex and then clip the outside and smash apples. And
what a waste of food.
Well, I mean, that's all fine. That's cool. A lot of driving talent. I probably couldn't do that. I mean, I probably could given enough takes, but, you know, we'd be there for a while. Anyway.
You'd run out of daylight.
Clarkson's driving this, an XKR, convertible XKR. Was that what you...
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. He's driving it with freaking scuba diver flippers on him. And I guess I missed, like, the whole point of the... Well, I guess maybe it was supposed to be so easy to drift you could do it wearing any footwear. But it just... It came off so fucking pompous, you know? Like, yes,
well,
my
that
job,
is
my,
the British sense of humor.
I understand that. But, I mean, here... This guy's job is to travel around the world, drive all the cars that everyone wants to drive, and the best thing he can come up with is to drive this freaking car and scuba diver flippers.
I'll make you a copy of the copy that I have of that, and I'll send it to you, and you can, because you have to take the whole, it's part of a whole thing in context. Mm. Mm.
Right. So if
maybe
Clarkson,
I just saw that clip, but that one kind of ruffled my feathers. I'll be honest.
Fair enough. If Clarkson was wearing flippers, what was the Stig wearing? Like ice skates or something?
No, he was wearing galoshes.
Galosh. Oh, Wellingtons, right?
Wellingtons.
One of the people they had there was wearing ice skates, and so that somebody handicapped someone else with some. The Stig was something. I can't remember the whole
those wooden
bit,
Japanese sandals, maybe.
Yeah.
Ankle breakers.
Actually, Ben has the video running of that Aston Martin segment from Top Gear. That's for those who are watching the live video stream. So.
Okay. Well, enough about Jeremy. Time to move on to the next thing that we're thankful for. You know, we may not be thankful for this, but if you drive a Nissan with a CVT continuously variable transmission, you should be very thankful because the company has basically doubled the warranty on the transmission. So it's going from 60,000 miles to 120,000 miles. So, you know, hey, something breaks, or if it already broke and you paid to have it fixed, they're going to take care of you, which is pretty cool. That being said, I am not a fan of the CVT. And I don't know about you guys, but I sure as hell would not be buying a new car with with one of these transmissions in it.
The only car that I've driven with a halfway decent CVT was the Maxima.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I thought that had a pretty... I was actually surprised that transmission blew me away. I really expected more crap. And maybe that's why I felt like it was so good. But, you know, with its little floppy paddles, you could simulate shifting and, you know, just handle the engine's power really well, you know.
I think with the Maxima is just such a great car that it overshadowed the CVT.
Probably. But
I think it's definitely come around to improve fuel economy in cars. But like I was saying in the pre-show, one of the worst cars that I've ever driven is the Dodge Caliber with the CVT.
That car is a joke, isn't it?
No, I've never driven it,
fortunately.
The car itself is a great functioning car. I mean, I like the fact that Dodge went to a station wagon with the Magnum. Mm-hmm. They went to a hatchback with the Caliber.
It's got that Euro flavor, doesn't it?
The CVT in that thing was just pathetic.
Was that your least favorite part about the car, the CVT? Because there's a lot that's crappy on that thing.
Well, I think the crappy transmission makes everything else look spectacular.
Oh, wow. That must be really bad. And Zach, you were saying?
Well, I mean, the CVT paired with that engine didn't do it any favors.
Yeah.
The engine didn't have a whole lot of grunt anyway. So you romp on it, and it just goes straight up to the stratosphere of the tach and just stays there. And you feel like the car is about to explode.
Because GEMA, Engine Manufacturing Alliance, they share that, what, with... They were supposed Hyundai. To share it with Mitsubishi and Hyundai.
Yep.
That thing's a turd. I'm sorry.
That whole enterprise is dead, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're retooling it for Fiat multi-year engines, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but... Yeah, that... Yeah, the CVT, I don't imagine that would make the Caliber any better of a vehicle. Have you driven it, Eric? Or?
I have not driven the Caliber, no. The only CVT that I've driven has been in the Fusion Hybrid.
Okay.
And it's okay.
Yeah,
meh. In normal driving, it's fine. You stomp on it, and then you get the full CVT effect of it. Just tack just sits there at about $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
oozing along.
Yeah. But like in normal stuff, and even merging onto highways, it was fine. But
okay. Well, yeah, since you... Go ahead, Zach.
I was just going to say, I would be really surprised if the CVT sticks around, especially as dual clutch transmissions get cheaper.
They're so much better.
Yeah, I mean it's the best of manual and automatic world basically, and I say that as a diehard fan of shifting your own damn gears. So
yeah, definitely.
But the interesting thing about this story is I was always told that the best benefit of the CVT is the fact that they don't expect it to break very much. So the fact that they're doubling their warranties, really not helpful, I'd imagine.
Well, does it show that they're confident in the product or they're worried?
I think it's confidence, and it's more of a marketing thing than anything else. That would be my bet.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a pretty good idea of how long these things will last when they ship them out, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
120,000 miles. I mean, the amount of people who buy a car and keep it that long pretty slim these days. Yeah.
Well, but that might be changing.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. People.
I think the average went from 6 years to now it's just over 8 years, the average time a new car is kept.
Hmm. Interesting. But speaking of new, our next story is very exciting and something to be thankful for, because Ford has announced that they're finally replacing the Crown Vic for police duty. They're coming out with a new police interceptor for law enforcement. So that's very exciting, because the Panther platform on which the Crown Vic is built is finally going away. It's only been around since, what, 1979 or something like
something
that?
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, good Lord.
And these days, the only people who bought a car or any car based on that platform is law enforcement and Floridians.
Well, the best part
lasted this long.
During the Fiesta event, one of the Fiesta agents.
About it.
I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about a Fiesta agent.
It's embargoed.
No. Oh yeah, that's yeah.
He said his two previous cars were Mercury Grand Marquis, and the guy looked like he was like, I think he was 24.
Okay.
And the fact that, I mean, it was just amazing that someone that young would buy a Grand Marquis.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've thought about picking up like an auction police interceptor just for shits, you know?
You get a nice dark color, black or a dark navy, and yeah, you just get in the fast lane and you have the Moses effect. People just Red Sea clear out of your way.
I would drive a Marauder. You know, those were kind of cool cars.
Some of the police departments down here have Marauders too.
Really?
Yeah.
Drug bust cars or something?
No, it's just that's their undercover car, because it looks so much different than the Crown Vic.
Well, speaking of looks, you know, that is the one good thing about the police using the Crown Vic, is that they're so easy to spot. If you're a car person, you know a little bit about cars, you know what to look for. And anytime you see one that's typically a dark color and has the what are they, the Dagmar bumpers or something, those vertical things,
cow catchers,
whatever, yeah, and like steel wheels, you know, oh, better slow down.
Well, like even at night you can tell. Yes. Because it has like that inset orange
yes.
driving light.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, yeah. You notice that too, that gigantic rectangular amber parking light in the middle. It's a telltale.
My favorite part is you come up on one at night and you can see the taillights, right? So you know it's a Panther. Mm-hmm. And the closer you get, you just look for the glint of chrome to let you know it's a Grand Marquis and not an actual actual cop car.
Yep.
See that chrome and it's game on. You
know? Absolutely.
So have they said what they're going to replace that with?
Good question, and no, they haven't.
So what I'm hoping is that they're going to bring over the Falcon from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
See, and then I get my whole Bathurst thing going on here, because then I get the Falcon from Australia, and then someone will actually kick Fritz in the nuts and let him actually rebadge the G8 mm-hmm. as a Chevy, and then we can have our Holden versus Ford here in the U.S. with the Mondeo and the Falcon. And
I say, in your dreams.
I'm just gonna
throw this out there. I have no inside knowledge or anything. I bet they're going to do it off like the Taurus show, something like that. That's, a cheapened.
I've heard both.
Yeah, but isn't the whole thing that cops don't like front wheel drive cars and they want something with a real frame?
You get rear wheel.
Well,
drive.
The press release is kind of
all wheel drive.
It leaves it up in the air, because it says the car is going to be engineered and built in America.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's also being fit to what police officers want, and I've never heard a police officer say they like a front wheel drive car.
Yep.
So it'll.
But the EcoBoost gives you
all-wheel drive, right?
Yeah, and the EcoBoost V6 gives you much better fuel economy and performance compared to the boat anchor, you know, V8 that's in the Crown Vic now.
But you guys are right. I mean, cops hate unibodies. I mean, my stepdad used to be a detective on the Knoxville Police Department, and he said, you know, they got Impalas for a while, and the Impalas didn't last maybe a third of the time that the Crown Vics did.
Really?
It was just because they would run them so hard that eventually the doors just wouldn't close, because they just would bend the body, essentially.
Hmm.
So
that's not a very good endorsement of the, what is it, W body?
Something. Well, yeah, I mean,
I think we debated this before.
You've got to imagine, you know, cop duty is sort of like rental car duty on steroids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
It's rental car duty plus media fleet duty.
Every journalist mile is what, 10 real world miles?
At least.
Yeah.
So, cold okay. Startup, pedal to the floor.
Yeah. So we mentioned that, you know, the EcoBoost engine, if that goes in the police interceptor replacement car, would offer a lot more power than the 4.6 liter V8 that's in the Crown Vic now. Well, speaking of V8s, we have another story here. This one comes courtesy of Jalopnik. In case you didn't know, Ford was bringing out a new, bigger displacement engine to replace the 5.4 as their top offering. And this one, the new one, is 6.2 liters. And there's kind of a cool Easter egg that they've got in the engine. Jalopnik got to take pictures of it, I guess. And when you look in the valley of the V of the engine block casting, you can see in nice big letters, "The boss is back." So that's kind of an interesting Easter egg that Ford slipped in there. Eric, what do you think of that?
Bigger is better.
Bigger is better.
Is this, and I saw this, but I didn't read the press release. Is this also like based off of the, whatever they're called, the Coyote / Hurricane motor?
I think this is, well, this would be the Hurricane, if I remember correctly, because the Coyote is the 5 liter.
Right? Yeah.
Allegedly. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see on the 11th of December.
Yeah. Yeah, what the LA Auto Show Mustang reveal. That'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. It's kind of cool they cast the bosses back in there. Who knows if that'll, you know, make it to production, but nifty
still pretty
little
freaking awesome.
Egg.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Anybody who's even remotely into cars and engines, you know, that's just got to get your heart going a little bit.
So
it's just cool.
I'll ask you, Zach, what was the original boss? Which engine was that?
Oh, Christ. You
302.
Was it the 302?
Was it the 302 or was 302
was the 302 was the first one, and then 351 was either late year, 1 year later, I think.
Hmm. Right.
Okay.
But the Boss 302 was the original one because they had to homologate that for Trans Am Racing.
Hmm. And that was basically, was it a Strokes 289? Is that what that is?
Slightly, but the difference was it had more of the Cleveland style head.
Is that canted valves?
Yeah, canted valve head. Okay. And which with modern airflow technology works really good, but back then wasn't so great for a street car.
What, not enough torque? Not enough.
Yeah, you didn't get enough. You didn't get enough airspeed through the cylinder head at like under 3,500 or 4,000. Mm-hmm. Once you got over that, it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But
lots of flow.
Yeah, but you know, as a high performance, it was great. As a street car, yeah, maybe not so much today. You could do the same thing, and it'd just be from. You know,
yeah, with variable valve timing.
Well, you don't even need that. I mean, just because of modern design in cylinder head flow and stuff like that.
Computer modeling.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Okay.
Well, that and about 40 years of people with grinders working on cylinder heads. But but anyways, yeah, it was a good motor.
Have they said what the horsepower is going to be on the Boss?
Yes, they did. What,
465?
Well, that's the torque, wasn't it? They announced it with the Raptor.
415, 465, is that right?
That sounds right. It sounds pretty close. I can look on the media site real quick.
Yeah, I was trying to find it. I can't see it.
Let's see here. 6.2 liter V8, 411 horsepower, 434 torque, which sounds a little low for 6.2 liters, but, you know, it's comparable to the GM 6.2, so...
And someone else makes the point there was also a Boss 429, and that thing had the same issue with their cylinder heads as well. So,
Okay. So moving right along, our next story here is kind of a shocker. Autoblog's running this one. GM just, you know, revealed the upcoming Buick Regal. Buick's new smaller car to fit in under the LaCrosse.
Speaking of badge engineering.
Yeah, speaking of badge engineering, it's the best Opel you can buy in the U.S., I'd say. It's a rebadged Insignia from Europe, and it looks like GM is going to offer the 2.0 turbo engine with a 6-speed manual, which is a shock. I mean, does anybody even remember the last Buick that had a stick? I mean, I have no idea. Wasn't the Grand National, wasn't the LeSabre.
1965 Buick Wildcat.
Is that what it was?
Autoblog says it's a Somerset.
What does Autoblog know? I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
What a stupid name for a Somerset.
My question is, why did they stick with the freaking Regal name? You know, everybody who's on the face of the planet right now associates Regals with, like, real estate agents and their grandmother.
And crap.
And crap, that too.
There was
not necessarily in that order. Yes.
There was that whole. There was a discussion about that very briefly last night on Autoline After Hours, and it was all about, well, if you bring the insignia, then you have to spend all this money to get people to recognize the name. And I'm like, and kind of to your point, Zach, it's like you're assuming that the money that you're spending to continue the Regal name isn't spending bad money after bad money.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, so coming off the clean name. Like Insignia or finding one of the other Buick names that they have in the vault.
I mean, you can imagine, okay, somebody, you know, 30 or so goes out and they're like, all right, well, I'm going to buy a car. Say they, for whatever reason, decide they're going to buy the Regal. How do you explain that to someone? Yes, I bought a Buick Regal. You know, I mean, that's, I don't know.
They have discriminating taste, clearly.
Clearly.
An eye for design.
I mean, the car may be great, but you know, like Eric said, you're shoveling crap to get to it. You know.
Well, out of all the names that GM's killed over the years that are just horrible, like, you know, they killed the Eldorado, and for a while they killed the Camaro. Why couldn't they just kill the Regal and leave it dead?
Couldn't you call that because it's a new and exciting car from Buick, right? So couldn't you call it the Electra?
What about the...
Seriously, I mean, that's a Buick. It's a very traditional Buick name that had some cachet in the day.
How about Terraza?
I really see the Electra being used for a future hybrid from Buick.
No, Century. Final answer. God, that car was a piece of crap.
Speaking of Century, weren't we going to talk about a Chevy Celebrity on here? Or did that get erased?
That's for another day.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
a little gear up for that.
That would be personal highway hearsay.
Maybe.
Stories from the open road.
Yes. So, Buick Regal, it's coming out. It's new. Well, new to us in the U.S. here. But I think it's friggin' sweet. GM is offering it with a manual, you know? Bottom line. You may not like the car, but the fact that they're offering it with a 6-speed.
So they'll sell, 45 manual transmissions for the year?
Yeah.
But it's there. You could get one if you wanted. Special order or something.
In 4 years, you'll be able to get them for like $5,000.
Sweet. Our next story deals with an automotive icon, the Ford Edsel. And according to the New York Times, it was 50 years ago Thursday that the car was killed. Eric, does Edsel mean anything to you?
The original Edsel everyone hated, and when they finally killed it in 1960, I think, or what was the 60 model year,
mm-hmm.
it actually changed the styling where it was actually quite attractive for the day. I mean, if it wasn't for the grill, I think everyone would have liked it. But
and the quality was horrible from what I've read. But yeah, even the first couple model years of Edsel, I don't think it's that bad looking, you know, compared to some of the other stuff that was out there at the time. Zach, do you have any opinion on this car or anything like that?
I got nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah, I mean, you don't really see a whole lot of them at car shows, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You
don't have any crazy Edsel-related story when you were in college? Burger King run
one,
or something?
Not one. I could try and make one up for you if you want. But I have no Edsel experiences.
Okay. What about you, Jeff? You got anything?
I've never really had an opinion either way about the Edsel. I don't think it's as bad as everyone always says it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone says it was the precursor to the Pontiac Aztec, but I don't think it was that bad.
It's not, you know, it's got a little bit of style there. It's got chrome. Chrome's always nice.
But then again, looking back, like from our perspective, you know, maybe it's changed a little. I don't know.
As kids who grew up in like the late 80s to early 90s, yes. That's a gorgeous car comparatively to like
the 80s were a high point for design. You know, the Testarossa.
80s should just not
Enzo. Yo, Enzo, let me borrow your Testarossa. I need to grate my Parmigiano cheese.
What about the claim that the grill resembled
part of the female anatomy.
Her ear?
Not so much.
Not so much.
Which part of the girl?
We'll let you. Why don't you explain, Ben? What do you mean?
I guess
is a family show.
I guess if it's not obvious, then I won't go to lengths to describe.
Okay.
Well. A chrome-trimmed kitty cat.
Where's your cougar sound effect, Ben? You had a perfect opportunity to do that with the police interceptor story with the Panther platform, and you didn't.
I got this. Did I do anything for you?
No, I'm sorry. That no.
Not so much.
Well, I guess with all the phallic, you know, sort of designs out there, maybe Ford was just trying to even the balance a little. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they were trying to appeal to women in a subconscious sort of subliminal way. I don't know. I got nothing. Nothing. Which is good because I think it's time that we took a quick break and heard a few words from one of our sponsors. After that, we'll get to our blind spot story of the week. Plus, we'll talk about what we've been driving in the garage. So don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more great stuff coming up right after this.
Don't build their hopes up too high, Craig.
Thanks, Ben.
Great.
I hate you.
I mean, it's okay.
Jimmy Stewart here for Bald Eagle Tires. Whether you're on a bumpy country road or the newfangled interstate, Bald Eagle Tires give your car easy handling. And with the patent-pending Hydro Slick Tread pattern, Bald Eagle Tires glide over the rain-soaked pavement and careen through wintry snow like one of Santa's reindeer. Show Mother Nature who's boss with Bald Eagle Tires.
Are you sure that was an eagle sound effect, Ben? It sounds like something springing a leak or air whistling.
It was my G8's tire.
Oh, okay. Well, Bald Eagle Tires are built for America because they're made right here in America. So make the patriotic choice and pick up a set of Bald Eagle Tires the next time your car needs some new shoes. You know, winter's just around the corner, and if you live in a cold area, snow tires are a must. So swing by your local retailer for some great deals on Bald Eagle rubber. You know, I use Bald Eagle Tires on all the vehicles I own. What about you, Zach? You got them on the International?
No, the Spitfire, actually.
Oh,
I have,
okay.
Yeah, original JCPenney Bald Eagle Tires.
Oh, you must have that's a sportier car. You must have the low-profile XTR21D model tires, right?
13-inch, 13, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say 13s.
That's the one.
Those things grip the road like a bear claw
like butter,
or something.
Like butter.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. All right, so now it's time for our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. Tonight's story is a cautionary tale about the perils of wealth, and it comes courtesy of the LA Times. So, according to this article, more than 50 BMWs in the recent months in the Wilshire area of SoCal have been broken into, and the thieves have been making off with thousands of dollars worth of headlights and airbags, and they've left cell phones and laptop computers untouched. They're just left in the car, and they're taking the airbags and the headlights. This is bizarre to me. I mean, I know there is a lot of money there for replacement airbags, but to leave like phones and laptops, I mean, come on. If you're a thief, you'd think you'd be going, you know, all in to get as much stuff as you could. Eric, did you ever steal anything like that in college?
Like that?
Yeah.
In college? No.
No.
Other than that, I on the advice of my attorney, I will decline to make further comment.
Fair enough. Zach, you're going to jump in?
Yeah, well, you know, it's an amateur mistake to just go freaking hog wild, you know? I mean, guys obviously have a plan. They come in. Airbags are worth a crap load of money. I mean, if you have a minor accident and your airbag goes off, unless your car is worth a crap load of money, you can pretty much write it off. Because depending on the car, I mean, you're looking at $3,000 or more for the airbag.
Or even like the Fiesta. It's got enough airbags to float, you know? Just airbags everywhere.
So, yeah, I mean...
Embargo, Craig. Embargo.
Embargo.
That's going to be like Running Man, or not Running Man, Demolition Man's been on AMC this week.
Mm.
And we're not too
Sylvester
far away from...
Sylvester Stallone?
Yes.
Yes, Sandra I did Bullock, know that, Ben.
Sandra Bullock and Wesley Snipes and a few
Booyah.
Others.
Booyah.
But...
suck it, Ben.
They didn't have airbags in the cars in the 2048 or whenever this thing takes place. It was just the car just filled up with foam, and it was described as being inside a cannoli.
Hmm. Not as delicious, though.
No.
Not as delicious.
So we're not too far from that.
Jeff, have you ever had airbags stolen in any of your vehicles?
No, but when I was a mechanic, it wouldn't be a rare occurrence for a car to come in with the window smashed, the radio and the airbags gone, and that's it.
Hmm.
It seemed like that trend was over because I thought the new thing was smash out a window and steal the Garmin off the dashboard, but you know, airbags are easy to steal. Mm-hmm. I don't know about headlights so much.
Yeah, that seems like you'd have to, you know, open the hood, undo the bolt so you don't like break the brackets or something, and unwire the damn thing. And if it's a xenon or whatever,
yeah, you wouldn't
want to
break the
got.
Brackets when you're stealing the headlights out.
Well, if you're gonna sell them, come on.
Yeah, that's probably the whole point.
Stuff.
And so, if they are the xenon or HID headlamps, I mean. I'm sure they're expensive. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know the Toyota Prius issue, that was a major concern. They were so expensive on such a cheap car, so I could just imagine what they are on a BMW.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, but to extract the headlights, you know, to at least I would think you'd have to have the hood up, like I said, and then carefully unbolt it and unplug it and everything. That's going to take some serious time to do, you know?
They're professional.
I'm guessing there's bolt cutters and wire clippers involved. You know, you just fucking cut the bolts. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't care if you cut the connector off and the person can't plug a new headlight in.
Not your problem.
You're a thief. It's not your worry.
That's right.
So yeah, more than so. If you're in SoCal and you got a BMW, which is I would estimate most people down there.
Michelle Naranjo.
Yeah, Naranjo. Michelle, if you're listening, be careful. Your Z3 might you know, be victimized.
I didn't realize Michael Banosky was joining.
Yeah,
us.
What's
so,
up with
sorry.
This?
So sorry. Yes, it was date night, and I decided that I would stay.
My cat can be okay alone tonight.
Oh. So moving on, the moral
you're
of the story.
Doing all right, Craig?
What?
You're doing okay?
I'm having a mini stroke. I'm sorry.
Yeah, minestrone? I'll take some.
Mini stroke, Ben.
Oh.
The whole right. It's always a joke with you when the right side of my body goes numb, isn't it? I can't see color anymore, and you're laughing at me.
Well, before Ben was talking about how sensitive it was, so you know, we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Nothing. Hello? Nothing?
I don't know what you're referencing. I'm confused.
It was a joke, Craig.
Well,
Christ.
Sorry, Zach.
When in doubt, play this cougar sound effect.
Where is it, Ben? Okay. All right.
Or when in doubt, like Mud Monster says, it's time for Zach to tell a story.
Yes.
Gather around, children.
Tell us how your family escaped Nazi oppression, Zach.
You always go so obscure, Craig.
True.
It could be a small story. You got to go for the fences.
That's absolutely right. Swinging for the fences.
I've got a great flashback noise.
You got anything, Zach? Come on. Zach's story.
Well, I can tell you a story.
Well, make it quick.
Well, that sounds more like Monty Hall, Let's Make a Deal. What's behind door number three?
Segue into our next story. I can tell you a story about a Subaru commercial.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Now it's time to talk about what we've had in the garage. Ben, you got to tweak that sound effect. That you know
I have a sound clip of the Lincoln starting. 416.
Hey.
You wanted to send it to you.
Send that to Ben. He'll put it in there instead of that like 92 Geo Prism.
No, it sounds more like a Ford Focus. Hatchback. Wow. Gray?
Black.
Isn't that what yours is? Black. It was dirty, so it was like a grayish dirt. colored.
Dirt. That's called oxidation.
Do I have that?
National color right there.
I wash it off with a Brillo pad. I want to make sure it's clean. Come on. All right, Jeff, why don't you start us off? You've been driving something this week, a fine Nissan product.
The 2010 Nissan Sentra 2.0 SR.
SR?
Yeah.
Super
racy, yeah. And that's got a CVT, doesn't it?
It in fact does.
Wow. Tell us what it's like behind the wheel of that thing. It's got to be a beast on the road.
It is. I raced an Audi R8 the other day, and he blew me away.
Well, at least you gave him a run for his money, didn't you?
I probably gave him a chuckle.
A chuckle. Hey, that's got to be worth something.
No, it's a cool little car.
Yeah.
I think fully spec'd out, it's $19,000. I don't think you should really expect too much performance for that price range.
So 0 to 60 in what?
A couple minutes.
Yeah. Use a sundial.
My favorite thing about the car, I've never been a fan of the clear taillights, but it's got the clear taillights with like a blacked out bezel.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in this, I'm trying to read the color of it. It's like an orangish red color. It's a really nice color. Anodized orange.
Hmm.
It's a really sharp looking car.
Cool.
But it's fun to drive too.
Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate it compared to comparable vehicles?
It's more fun than a Corolla.
Okay, so it's comparable to a root canal. Then.
So what you're saying
more delicious than cardboard.
So what you're saying is it's French vanilla ice cream rather than just plain vanilla ice cream.
Yes, it's got the black speckles in it.
Oh,
vanilla bean
or
Breyers made with real vanilla bean.
Yeah, it's definitely not an enthusiast car by any means.
But it's probably a pretty solid little.
Yeah, it looks better than its competitors for most of the part.
Okay. Well, I had something a little bit more exciting to drive this week.
Just a little bit.
I had the Chevrolet Camaro. I don't know if you guys have heard of it or
how
not.
How do you pronounce that? Camaro?
The Camaro.
Camaro.
That's how Lutz
is what
says it,
Mr.
right?
Mr. Lutz says.
Camaro, man.
Camaro. Yeah. So I had the SS with the 6-speed manual. Nice car overall, I've got to say. It drives well. It's obviously fast with, 426 horsepower. The thing moves. It doesn't get as many looks as I would think, though, being a brand new car and being so hunkered down-like.
You're starting to see a lot of them on the road. I mean, they're starting to get a little common.
Because I haven't seen that many up here, surprisingly.
And they're freaking everywhere.
I heard just the opposite. I heard that they're very common up in Michigan.
I mean, I would think so because GM, obviously, right here, and everybody works for the auto industry. They can get a great deal on a domestic car. But I haven't really seen that many out there, surprisingly.
So let me ask you, did you feel like the car was about 18 feet wide driving it?
It does feel wide, yes.
And did it feel like you were driving in like a 30s hot rod with a chop top?
Yep, there is. The windows are definitely mail slots.
And did the left rear blind spot feel the size of Rhode Island to you?
No, it was about Connecticut. It was a little bigger than Rhode Island.
Okay.
So, yeah, looking over your left shoulder, useless.
Yeah, not that anyone can see it, but this I developed a technique for doing that, and it was like this.
Yep. And even when you do that, you like lean over. The way the pillars are staggered, it's still almost impossible to see anything. So that's one thing I didn't like. Another thing I didn't like was, surprisingly, the engine. I felt it vibrated a lot more than it should have. Now, I've driven a Mustang, I can't remember when, it might have been a couple months ago, it was a GT, and I remember that as being a lot smoother running. Just something about the 6.2 and the Camaro that it was just has a kind of a gritty feel to it. I don't know if that's just me, if I'm out of line, or what.
The only thing I could say is I thought the motor ran okay in the one that I drove.
Mm-hmm.
One of the issues I had is when you let your – and I had the automatic, which sucked. But when you let your foot off the gas, it almost felt like you were hitting the brake because there was so much – pull down from the converters. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just didn't roll free.
Trying to get the best economy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you come off, you know, you're going on the fine, and then it was like where you pushed it, like in the Mustang when you pushed the clutch in, it was just like it would roll, you know. So the other thing is, did you find the steering in the Mustang almost to be too heavy?
I thought the
I'm sorry, in the Camaro.
No, I thought it was appropriate in the Camaro as well. But what I didn't like about the steering was the wheel itself. It's got this...
fake leather?
No, the shape of it. You can't grab it easily. It's got this weird... instead of being like a circle that you'd grab onto, it's like this off-kilter oval, and it just does not fit your hand at all. It's... I don't know why they did that. They could have copied a Focus and had, like, the perfect steering wheel, but they... yeah. Is that you laughing, Jeff?
You're a little biased there, aren't you, Craig?
Well, maybe, you know. I
actually got to meet the designer of the Camaro, Luciano Nakamura. It was fun to listen to him, how he described his inspiration for the car.
Is he Italian and Japanese?
No, he's Japanese and Brazilian.
Oh, it's an interesting combination. Anyway, I'm sorry.
But first he said that the car was designed by GM Brazil, or he was from GM Brazil, and he had help from GM's Korean design team and the Russian design team. And his inspiration was the Corvette, the original Camaro, and the F-22 Raptor fighter jet.
Hmm. Interesting.
I'm scratching my head trying to find the F-22 Raptor inspiration.
Yeah.
It's got some sort of angular stuff in it, especially the little faux intakes behind the doors. Mm-hmm. I guess I can sort of see that.
Well, Ben, you pointed an interesting styling point out that I think you said your dad had noticed, and I didn't notice this at first, but when you mentioned it was obvious. But the hood looks very short and squashed, you know? Like, it almost should have been longer on the car.
Yeah, and I guess I attributed, you know, he noticed that, and I thought, well, it's just because he was used to the real muscle cars, you know, 20, 30 years ago, whatever.
Hmm.
But, yeah, I guess looking at that side profile, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I never noticed it. It's a good-looking car, but if they made the hood longer, I think it would have been even better.
The one thing I don't like about the Camaro and the Challenger, the base model, it doesn't differentiate as much as I think it should to the top-of-the-line performance model.
Mm-hmm.
I think they kind of missed that aspect, but...
Visually, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, you, there's very little to tell between the Camaro LS and the Camaro SS. But
yeah,
if you see a Mustang and a Mustang GT and a GT500, there's no denying which is which.
Yeah, it's obvious what trim level you've got. Interesting. Well, while we're still on the Camaro, Ben, you had some seat time in it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience with the car?
I did. Yeah. So as anyone who's listened to this show for some amount of time. I haven't talked a whole lot about it, but I'm really the only non-car guy here.
It's true.
I switch videos. I don't drive cars. Not as an enthusiast, not from an enthusiast perspective anyway. And as such, I never could drive a manual.
Shame, Ben. Shame!
I know.
My name is Ben Sanders, and I don't know how to drive a stick.
It's kind of shameful, considering the company that I keep. But a week ago, after
the
show,
yeah.
Craig showed me how to drive a manual.
I opened his mind to a wonderful...
In a Camaro SS.
Yes.
Well, to be fair, that car is so easy to drive.
Well, I can imagine. I mean, it's got more torque than a tank. So just let out on the clutch. That's where it goes, I can imagine.
One of the funniest things was to talk to some of the Fiesta agents who had never driven a stick before before they got that, and they had to learn how to drive. Some of the stories were kind of amusing.
Those transmissions are probably junk now.
Well, the transmissions are probably okay, but who knows how many clutches they had to put in.
That's true. So, Ben, how do you like the manual transmission compared to the automatic? And do you like driving it?
It's not fair at this point for me to to say, because right now it's not what I would consider fun. It's a lot of work and a little scary considering the car that I'm putting at risk when I go down the road with my awful shifting skills. But
you did fine.
I did fine, but I had to think about it. It's not second nature. I can see how it would be fun, but
it's never fun in traffic. It's always fun when you're pushing the car. You know, that just seems to be the long and short of it.
If you have the Roush 540 RH Mustang and you're stuck in rush hour on I-75, that is not fun.
The worst.
Yes. But if you're on the tail of the dragon down, you know, where Zach lives, clear roads, no police, that is fun.
Oh, I'm sorry, the tail of the dragon, there's no such thing
as,
or whatever.
There's no police.
127? Yeah, no traffic, no police, maybe at 3 in the morning.
If when that, and then you're going to find some other jackass in a riced-out Civic, right, you know, coming at you at 100 or so. So screw that.
Yeah,
there are better roads, you know, that you can find. That's all I'm going to say about that.
So
you
then,
know, I have to share this heartbreaking tale with you. It's story time.
Ben, do you have a sound effect for that yet?
Not yet.
Okay,
we got to put that on the list for next week.
That's right. You work on that. All right. So when I got pulled from the rotation for press cars, I had had the Equinox for 2 weeks, which is really rare. I mean, they usually give it to me for a week and, you know, whatever. So I get the call from the guy and he's like, well, you know, I'm really sorry, but we've run out of cars, for you to test. I'll give you a call when we get more stuff back in. I'm like, all right, well, that's fine. Well, they bring two guys to pick up the car cause they're dropping them off at my house, and they pull up in a black SS with red leather interior Camaro. Mm-hmm. I had not driven that car yet. That was my heartbreaking tale.
Goodbye.
Yeah, pretty much. So it kind of sucked.
They were just saying, ha ha.
Pretty much, yeah. This is what we have.
So did you go blow up the courthouse, or?
No explosives, anything like that.
Oh, okay. You just got drunk.
Yeah, no. Drank away my sorrows.
Yeah. Well, you do make your own moonshine, right?
No, I have people who do that.
He has people.
He has people.
You think I'm joking?
No. I have friends in Tennessee. I know.
This is from Virginia, I got to say.
All right. Well, Ben, I hope you continue your studying and your journey towards mastering the standard transmission. And I also hope that you've learned enough to be able to drive one if you have to now.
Ben, you should just trade a G8 for one of the last GXPs. Why not?
I think didn't the last one come off, get sold?
Weren't there only 16?
Did they already? I thought there were like 16 left with manual.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Well,
you should do it.
Yeah, that'll do it for In the Garage, but it's time for our next segment, which is our stupid car trick.
Go on, boy. Go get it. Come on now.
Okay, now what we've got here this week is a short TV commercial for Subaru, and it parodies a stupid product that's out in the market. It's called the Snuggie. If you're not familiar with it, it's this fleece blanket thing that you wear over yourself, and its big selling point is that it's got armholes in it, so you can actually, like, grab things. Apparently it's supposed to be convenient.
It's like a serape.
Serape? Is that, like, rug with the hole in it that your head...
Yes.
Okay. I don't speak Spanish. I'm sorry.
I think it's pronounced Sarape.
Sarape,
yeah. we could always call Michelle Naranjo and find out, since she's down in the Baja. The Baja.
Yes,
Baja.
I forgot to mention that. In case anybody's wondering, Michelle Naranjo, she is down on the Baja 1000 racing like trucks or something. It's like a desert down there, right, Eric?
That's what they say.
Okay. Well, she's probably having a lot more fun than we are working on a Friday night, you know.
Well, at least she can eat real authentic Mexican food.
They have Taco Bell down there?
Yeah, Chi-Chi's.
Oh, Chi-Chi's. It's a celebration.
Oh, I miss Chi-Chi's.
Fried ice cream, right?
Oh, yeah.
Zach, I do have to commend you for your open-mindedness of actually finding this story, though.
Yes. I knew I was going to get shit for this. I knew. the instant I bookmarked that thing, I knew. I just fucking knew. All right. So,
take it away.
Well, why don't we pause it and for a second, and we'll take a look at this.
Okay.
Blankets are okay, but they can slip and slide.
You've got the Snuggie commercial. Some woman sitting on the couch, wrapping her hands in a blanket, but oh, she can't grab the phone, so she uses the Snuggie. But then a crowbar comes down and rips the screen off. The infomercial for the Snuggie is gone, and some guy goes sauntering back to his Subaru, I guess, Outback. Introducing the all-new, and the tagline is, maybe you should get out more, as the guy drives away from this beautiful lakeside setting out.
Why don't you read the headline on the article on this link?
Zach, take it away.
You going to be an ass, Jeff? You going to be an ass? It says Subaru uses.
Well, first, why don't you tell us the source?
Oh, my fucking God. All right. So it's from gaywheels.com.
Now, okay, what's that site about?
It's the gay friendly automotive resource.
Oh, come on. We're progressive.
It says it right at the top. Look.
So, again, as we've discussed before, Subaru.
Are you on their mailing list? I'm sorry, Zach. Take it away.
All right. Yeah, make fun of me for being closed-minded and from the South. Yeah.
I said you were open-minded.
Thank you, Jeff. All right. So anyway, it's on gaywheels.com. And as we've discussed before, Subaru is very popular with the LGBT community because they support partner rights. So the headline is Subaru uses a Snuggie, parentheses, and a hottie to sell Outbacks. And, of course, it's a burly man strutting back to his Outback.
In the mountains.
In the mountains, that's, no
he's
less.
He's probably a lumberjack or something.
So, since I feel the need to defend myself, I will tell you how I stumbled upon this. So, Joe, who runs this site, is a really cool guy. He's put up with me on a couple of different launches, and if you ever get the chance to meet him, he's a great guy. And he has a really unique site, and he's found a great niche, and it seems to be doing really well. So I follow him on Twitter, and he posted this on Twitter, and I followed the link and then shared it with you guys.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've met Joe before. Very nice
cool guy. Yeah. I can never pronounce his last name, so Joel.
Joel.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the name of his company. Targeted Diversity Media. Or, I'm sorry, Targeted Diversa Marketing.
True. Very innocuous.
Yes.
Yes.
But I love the freaking ad, mostly because I hate the Snuggie.
It's one of those stupid infomercial Ron Popeil-esque products that you just shake your head when you see it.
I did a post on this on WebRides, and I sort of went off on the Snuggie. And basically, the way I feel is that if you're confounded by a square piece of cloth, your genes probably shouldn't be on this earth. So that's pretty much as far as I can get. So, you know, when it comes up, maybe you should get out more. That's good, you know, because if you need a fucking blanket with sleeves, I have no room for you.
A blanket with sleeves. That just sounds retarded. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but Snuggie, that sounds like cutting-edge technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And Mud Monster is putting in the chat, Zach, now's the time to call Craig an asshole. Hilarious.
I think it's understood, Mud Monster. I think it's understood.
Yeah, I am an asshole most of the time. Okay.
We need to get the Dennis Leary music for you.
I'm fine.
He doesn't know who that is either. So
he's a guy that does stuff, right? See, I know my pop culture shit. Come on, quiz me on anything, Ben.
You know, Craig, if you say right enough times after whatever you're saying, people are bound to believe it. Right? Yeah, right?
Right? Yeah, come on.
Right?
Right?
There you go. See?
Craig, name one character on Top Gun.
Well, it's not that. It's not Tony Danza. It's that other guy, Tom Cruise. No, or something, isn't it? Iceman.
The fact that you said Ice Cube first, I wish I could punch you.
Eric, you want to make that happen for us?
Hold on, let me click over to the live feed.
Ready?
Yep. Okay, enough about me. This is about us. This is Roundabout. So moving on, it's time for another arousing edition of everyone's favorite segment. Ben, take it away.
Tales from the Open Road.
road.
All right, Highway Hearsay is all about what we've seen out on the road, from weird sightings to the stupid things people do, and boy, can they be stupid at times. So I submitted one for this week, and again, I fortunately was able to snap a photo. I was at a stoplight, and I look over to my left, and there's a car that I have no idea what it is. It kind of looks like a UFO or something. And Ben went ahead and posted that on our TwitPic account, so you can check it out. Otherwise, I'm sure he has it up on the video feed right now. I saw this. I had no idea what it was. Do any of you guys know what it is?
Well, I think the general consensus is either a convertible Geo or a Festivo with the top cut off.
Did you see the YouTube video I posted on the Google Doc?
I did not. If I watch it, my sound will go to crap.
The videos of a Geo Metro pickup truck.
That's it. It's a Geo Metro with like a pickup bed. Just when you think you've seen it all.
It's a perfect crossover, you know, three cylinders, a bed. What more does a grown man need?
Well, you know, it's about need, not desire. You know, you don't need more than three cylinders.
No,
that's all you need.
As my granddad used to say, it ain't your needs that keep you broke.
It's your addiction to hookers, right?
It's your wants, Craig. Oh. It's your wants.
Sorry, so accusative.
Gotta stay on my toes with you, you know?
What was that last Subaru pickup truck they just had?
The Baja, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Baja. Yeah. All right.
The Baja.
The Baja Dubai. Because everything in Dubai is Burj something or other.
Burj Al Arab.
Yeah.
Hotel or whatever.
Which, by the way, there's actually a video floating around on YouTube of someone at the very, very top. One of the construction workers filming some stuff from, and it's 818 meters or 2,680 feet up in the air.
Wow.
And he points at the camera down, and you're like, ooh, that's a long way.
It's more than a long way. That's like, what? A long way.
It's 2,685 feet.
It's like half a mile.
Pretty close.
Okay, so that was my disappointing highway hearsay. Some awful, shitty Geo pickup truck.
Well, I was just watching the video I submitted, and I think they're different cars, maybe, because the wheels are different.
Oh, are they?
Which means that there are two Geo Metro pickup trucks.
Is that a Subaru Justy?
Oh, it could be.
It
could be. I hadn't thought about that.
Don't ask me why that just came to mind, but I'm looking and go, oh, hey.
I just test drove one of those, actually, like 2 weeks
that
ago.
That's another story coming on.
It came up on Craigslist. It was like $1,000. I was like,
you considered buying one of those?
I said, isn't that like half a step up from a Yugo?
Well, yes, but they also get like 50 miles to the gallon, which is awesome, right? And I thought if it was the turbo all-wheel drive version, I mean, how much fun could that be, right? So I went and looked at it, and it was horrible. Like, it was in really, really bad shape. So I was like, pass. It was $500, maybe.
No, you know, I've heard there's a wrecked SVT Focus near you.
That's true. We could marry the two. 170 horsepower Justy.
Ooh.
For Justies.
What are you doing now, Ben?
He's showing
there
one
we
of
go.
Those.
Okay. All right. Something doing donuts, I guess, in the snow.
Is it going to jump over that snow mound?
You go Ken Block.
Patiently. No, here he comes back around. Some wintry scene and some POS car driving around. What is it? What is it? And
it's a Toyota.
It's either a Dodge Omni, isn't it?
No, it's either a Justy or a Toyota Tercel.
It's a Subaru Justy Turbo four-wheel drive.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That thing is BA badass.
When I heard the sound effect, and I'm not to go back to an original thing, but my first story of Clarkson, the first episode of this season stuff, which was on Sunday, they did a road trip to Romania to find this road that Ceausescu had built, and it's supposedly like the best road ever for driving. But they got permission from the Romanian government to drive on these tunnels underneath the palace.
Okay,
so you had a V12 Aston Martin, a Gallardo V10 Gallardo, and a Ferrari California, so the V8 that, mm-hmm. and they're driving in the tunnels underneath there. So sound,
that's arousing.
One of those. Yes, that's definitely one of those crank it up moments.
Wow, cool.
So, sorry, but when I heard the sound of whing, that reminded me of that.
So. Okay. So Jeff, did you have a highway hearsay worth doing or
the Bronco bar?
Yes.
For family friendly purposes, I will not discuss the Bronco bar.
Probably a good idea.
I thought I saw something unique, but it turned out to just be the new Jetta Sport Wagon. Mm. But it's still worth talking about, I guess. They put the Golf clip, the new Golf front end on the Sport Wagon.
Okay.
Which really changed the looks a lot. I think it looks a lot better now. A lot less like a woman's car.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, the Mark V VWs are kind of bulbous a little bit, you know, with the rounded headlights and everything. And the new
and the big chrome grill.
Massive chrome grill. Yeah, it's like a barbershop mirror. It's huge.
But it was nice to see the minor change. It looks like that's all they did visually is just change the front end.
Okay.
But when I saw it, I had never seen it before, so I figured it was something cool and unusual, but not so much.
Not so much.
It is cool, though. You can get a Jetta Sport Wagon with a TDI for like $25,000.
Which is a great freaking deal. That's a good car.
Yeah. Get 42 miles per gallon on the highway.
Yep, straight, man. Cool stuff. Well, with the conclusion of Highway Hearsay, I think that'll just about wrap things up for this week. Great job, guys, as usual. As we mentioned a few minutes ago, Michelle Naranjo was not able to join us. She's out in the Baja desert racing trucks or something, tagging along with the race. So hopefully we'll hear all about that next week on next week's show. But anyway, Jeffrey Ross, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And you want to plug something or whatever?
I guess the only exciting thing I'll be doing is the Monday after Thanksgiving, I'll be down in Miami seeing the new Audi A8.
Oh, I'll be there. I'll see you.
That press release
They built an entire building.
That building is beautiful.
Yeah.
We'll have to cover that in the show once the car is released, definitely. So any info on that you'll have posted on autotropolis.com, I imagine?
That is correct.
Cool deal. And Zach Bowman, thank you as well.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, and if anybody out there is interested, you can find Zach's stuff on, what's the site? blogs.webshowtv.org/
That's helpful.
That's it. No. It's blogs.webridestv.com or exhaustnote.com. And starting next week, greenracer.com.
Wow, you are everywhere.
You could not spread me any more thin right now.
Busy man.
Yeah.
So check out those sites and get your Zach Bowman fix.
Ow, ow.
Ow. And of course, lastly but not leastly, is Mr. Eric Tritko joining me in the studio live right now. Eric.
And I'm about 180 degrees from Zach. I've got so much to spread around, you know.
More than enough,
I literally have nothing going on right now. So,
well, enjoy the break then.
Good thing that paycheck from Roundabout's rolling in.
And I need some work so I can pay for Christmas this year.
Well, it's the family that matters, not the gift giving.
Yeah,
Roundabout's paying us in offices.
Anything you'd like to plug, Eric? Any sites?
Just check out my automotive, primarily automotive stuff at rumblestrip.net, and you can follow the continuing fun of the US F1 cartoon stuff going on over there. One of these days I'll get the Mustang GT review up there, and then if you like two wheels, there will be a new Rumblestrip radio podcast coming out next week.
Oh, very interesting. We'll have to check that out. Lastly, I'd like to thank our producer, Mr. Benjamin Sanders, for making this live webcast and, of course, the edited podcast possible. Ben, thank you for getting everything right this week.
You bet. Thanks for teaching me stick.
Ah, my pleasure, Ben. It's always nice to see your knowledge passed on to another generation. Remember, visit...
Oh, gee!
Aw, shucks. Remember, visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week, including links and show notes. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or criticisms, shoot us an email. Just swing by the site and click on the email button in the sidebar. And if you're feeling really ambitious, you can even suggest story ideas for upcoming shows, as Mud Monster has done on many occasions. You can also follow us on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/roundaboutshow. And to make sure you never miss an action-packed episode, subscribe. Just search for Roundabout in the iTunes Music Store or on the Zune Marketplace. Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then.
Oh, we will.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hey, did we... You didn't say happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, well... Happy Thanksgiving.
And that's what we're thankful for.
I'm just going to hold it.
So, I'm talking about Ben holding your stick again.
Holding my what?
I heard that.
Wow. He's got ears.